You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. On Monday mornings, you can call the program at 564-1290, 564-1290. When we rebroadcast Monday evenings at 9 p.m. and Saturday afternoons at 2 p.m., call Mark Schneidman, your local Coldwell Banker Realtor, at 898-4242, 898-4242, and visit RadioRealEstate.com for program information and to search MLS listings in Santa Barbara and throughout California. Normally at this time I do my weekly multiple listing analysis, but we're going to push that to the fourth quarter. Little basketball analogy. Did you guys see the tapes last night of the basketball melee in Detroit?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Oh, God.
That guy's got a temper problem.
Oh, what a scenario. God, I hope. Anyway, there was a caller, Craig, who called in. I'm sorry we couldn't take your call. If you'd like to join the discussion or have a comment one way or another on this issue about density and where we're building and what we should be building, county, city, our phone number 879-5867. One of my questions is, well, what is the alternative? I think we've cleared up that Gary's problem is he doesn't want any attorneys moving into any of these building projects. Those are when he say those kind of people, that's what he's really talking about. And we're talking, what about rentals? I mean, my complaint about all this, if you're going to build an affordable housing for somebody in a particular income category, and then 30 years later he gets to sell it and it translates into a market rate and he gets this big windfall.
No, it doesn't do that.
Well, some of them did, or did,
well,
or even
yeah,
shorter.
But there was one under a 10-year program out here where somebody purchased it 10 years ago for $93,000, just sold it for $700,000. But I think they're moving to correct that.
But not in perpetuity. I think that's against the law. I mean, it's longer term.
Right, somewhere between 45 and 90 years. But a better solution to this is to create rental housing, and that way the most needy who can't even qualify for some of the subsidized purchase homes would have adequate housing. It would also provide adequate housing for young people coming into the workforce to save until they could buy their own home. And then you have the better, a much better opportunity to prevent any sort of fraud in the program by maintaining it as rental. There have been documented cases of people buying these units and then moving out of them and renting them and absolutely making a killing. So, I mean, it's all around better to increase the county's rental supply than to give a lucky few lottery winners a near free home on the South Coast.
And I'm sure what you just stated happened, but let's just say that it's in the minority, but it shouldn't happen at all. And if your group is basically saying that you want to put everything up on the table and discuss all the different permutations and the different possibilities and that could be negatively impact the program, where people could abuse the program. If you just want everything on the table to discuss it and make a plan, it doesn't seem like anyone can argue with that.
Well, they can't argue, but they're trying to rush it through before these two supervisors go out of office who are so pro-development.
What's happening this Monday at people, you could show up at the fourth floor at the corner of Anacapa and Anapamoose Street.
We encourage everybody to come at 5 p.m.
This Monday, November 22nd.
Just go to the fourth floor. When you get off the elevator, turn right, and you'll be there.
And it's important to sign up as a speaker before you take your seat, or you won't be able to be heard.
And that the Board of Supervisors is going to vote on the revisions to the county inclusionary housing program. And this is where, as part of that revision, this is where they create this workforce housing category that allows all this workforce housing construction that subsidizes people up to $139,000 a year.
Now, when I'm reading in the paper that someone, a county housing authority commissioner, says that the inclusionary housing revision doesn't require the building of anything, nor any zoning change.
No, but it opens the door for all of it to happen. This is the first step. This in itself doesn't, but it opens the door for everything to come.
So every developer who chooses to develop some property that he's purchased in the future has to comply with these rules. So it's really silly for somebody like Mickey Flex to say we don't require it. they're going to build one home, it's going to be required.
Now, I never said who said it. I just quoted a commissioner. You have to go say who said it. Well, that's another story. So they're going to, are they going to absolutely vote this Monday?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, I'd say there's a 99% chance. I think the right thing to do is to postpone this vote until January when the newly constituted board takes office and let the people vote on it that have to implement it and administrate it.
Well, let's see how many people actually show up this Monday, November 22nd, the fourth floor of the county building at the corner of Anacapa and Anapamu. We do have a caller who wanted to touch on what we just talked about, rental versus buying. Good morning, Isaac. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Mark. You and your guest.
Hi.
Your guest mentioned a few minutes ago, I don't remember the exact statement or comment, but rent versus buying. And if he was saying that he support subsidized rentals, I agree with that, but to support subsidized buying for individuals regardless of income category, I definitely oppose that. And there's a number of reasons. We talk about, through our government, non-discriminatory practices, and that's exactly what this program does. You cannot, regardless of what criteria you use, to select people who would be
eligible
without discriminating against someone. And at the same time, if the employers, including the county and local governments, pay their employees a sufficient salary, then they would be able to either rent or purchase their housing. So in essence, what we are doing is subsidizing employees who are refusing to pay a decent salary. I've heard the argument about people who are necessary, policemen, firemen, et cetera, whatever. At the same time, pay these people a salary. That's what I say, and let them provide their own housing.
I agree with Isaac completely. If we're not, the county says they're having trouble attracting people. Well, giving a few people a near free home as an incentive is the wrong way to go. I agree with Isaac. If you can't attract people, pay them to the point you can attract them. And who in the county is not going to support the supervisors paying policemen and firemen and teachers and nurses the money they need to attract them to this county? Tax me more if that's what you want to do. I'm all in support of that.
I agree with that. 100%. You know, I don't mind paying higher taxes if it's going for a good cause, and I don't think most people mind paying higher taxes for a good cause. But I think what most people don't want to do is pay taxes to see their money squandered, because even some of these programs, just the administration itself.
You know, Isaac, I want to say two things. One, I have a client who owns 57 units in this town. He ends up, his rental to market rents are lower than what he rents the unit for Section 8 government-supported housing. They pay more than he will charge on the market for some of his rentals. So the rental market right now is available. It's not as if it's through the roof like prices are for buying.
Right. And that's right, because Section 8 has a guaranteed COLA, or cost of living increase, in the rental, where the market does. The doesn't. The market will fluctuate to whatever the market will bear. But, you know, again, getting back what we're saying about these rental programs, it allows a flow of people in and out of these units,
right,
as the market dictates.
Right.
If you put somebody in a subsidized unit, whether they want to get out of there or not, or they're going to stay there, and it's not going to open up as they mature for another person coming in. It's a locked unit.
Right, so it doesn't solve the long-term problem. Now,
it thwarts the long-term problem,
exactly,
because once you use up the land, there's only so much land, so there's going to be a capacity at some point in time where all of these subsidized units are built out, and then they're locked. Nobody can come in down the road, but
right,
with a rental program, you
right
can come and go.
Exactly.
And the nice thing about the rental programs is we can get state funds and grants to help combine with local funds to build lots of good rental housing, and we've had a very good experience with that over the years here.
But they don't seem to want to go in that direction. One example, and I could be speaking out of turn on this, Michael Tobes, and Isaac, you might be aware of this, being in real estate. Michael Tobes built this rental project off of Los Caneros.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But my understanding is that it's only, it's got a sunset, and it's going to then be able to convert to condos and be sold.
Right. Well, Michael, I respect Michael very highly, you know, for all the good he's done in his community and et cetera, whatever. But at the same time, he is sophisticated enough to realize what he needs to do in order to get his projects through. And to some extent, I don't blame him for that. You know, you can't blame him because, after all, he's not in it just to be a good guy, a nice guy.
But the system allows him to do it, and he does
exactly.
it.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, it's fine.
Right.
Now, the other issue on rentals that I've heard and we've seen in the paper, and it's been quoted, actually, by Ed Moses, is almost saying that, purchasing and owning real estate is almost a God-given, you know, constitutional right, and that we need to support this and make this happen. And having grown up back east, where rentals is really what everyone is doing and not owning.
I disagree with Ed Moses on that, and anyone else who takes that attitude, you know. I believe that to own something, you must work and make some sacrifices for it, you know. And I just absolutely think it's wrong for someone to be granted public funds through some lottery system.
And let me add one other thing, too, is that the county government has really skewed these numbers to make this look worse than it is and to bolster their case. They keep talking about the inability to afford a median-priced home. Okay, but yet they're talking about first-time home buyers. Nobody enters the real estate market at the median price. The
Correct.
Median price is a move-up market, I mean, which we all probably reach in our third or fourth home. But yet they're not only saying that everyone has a God-given right to the home on the South Coast, they're saying everyone has a God-given right to a median-priced home on the South Coast. And also, when in being statistically challenged as they are, when they cite the affordability problem, they use the median price of a South Coast home, but yet they take the median income of the entire county. If we're going to do apples to apples, let's take the median income of the South Coast versus the median price of a house.
Well, I believe everyone has a right to decent shelter.
Correct, and everyone does.
Right, be that be at a home, an apartment, and et cetera, whatever. At the same time, I also believe everyone has an obligation to do the best that they can to provide that too. And if they should fall short, you know, then this is where some agency, be it a government or private, should step in, you know, and assist the people who are trying to help themselves. But
you know, Isaac, we agree with you totally, and we have been pushing to do some subsidized low-cost housing up on this county campus on Cathedral Oaks. We could probably get in 165 units the state requires us to help poor people. And yet that's the very one, talk about a cruel turnaround, that the county wants to opt for themselves and offer
well,
to their
and,
own
and the
employees.
The argument they make is that there's no bus service up there and it's not within it's not near shopping. Well, then let's create a small subsidy to route some other buses up
right.
there, or even pay for a shuttle service to take people to and from shopping areas. I mean, I agree with Isaac. This is where I'd like to see my tax money go, is helping truly needy people, but not creating scenarios for people that have other options, and people making the kind of money they're talking about in this workforce house have all kinds of options.
In fact, the Ed Moses plan provides us for a shuttle service right there in the drawings.
He proposes a shuttle service for the people making over 100K. Why
exactly.
can't we do it for people that
well,
really
need
it?
Well, it's for others, too, because they also propose 25% low-cost housing and 25% medium-cost housing in that same vicinity.
Yeah, you know, but that's if you look at that site plan, it's a relatively low-dense project because they're talking about duplex housing. I mean, I think you could if you did it more apartment style, you could still do some really nice apartments up there, get more density in there, and help more people.
So is that why we don't see any proposals in Hope Ranch, because it's just not close to shopping?
Well, no, we don't see any proposals in Hope Ranch because that's where Susan Rose lives. She has proposed zero affordable units in her neighborhood.
Well, not only that, I just don't have the faith in the government administering any type of program on an equity basis. I just don't have the faith in it. Thanks for allowing me to.
Isaac, thanks for calling. We pretty much are coming up here. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Chuck, Kent,
yes.
I want to say thank you for joining the conversation. Say goodbye to you.
You're welcome. Keep writing those screenplays, Mark. We'll get one sold one day.
I was a one-shot pony. I wrote one script for...
And that was a good one.
...for a Seinfeld episode. And try to get someone to read it. That's the first... you got to be a salesman and a writer.
True.
Thanks, Chuck. Maybe we'll
hey,
see
Mark,
you down at Borders.
Nice visit.
Thanks.
Nice visiting, Gary.
Thanks a lot. So we're left with Gary Earle. That was Final upshot, Gary. This Monday, 5 o'clock at the county building, which is at the corner of Anacapa and Anapamu. It's on the fourth floor. People want to show up and say something one way or another. It's pretty darn important.
No question about it. This is shaping the future of our community, and I think everybody should come voice their opinion.
Well, good luck with you. And again, if someone has the other side of the coin, if they want to talk about that, you're more than welcome to call us 879-5867. Although this program is running out of time, we'll come back and do my weekly multiple listing analysis. One piece of real estate that's coming up is, well, it's not coming up, but it's being kicked around, and I'm sure it's not going to happen, is the Earl Warren Showgrounds. You're familiar with that new state real estate valued at $1 million surplus real estate? Gary, have you heard about that?
No, I briefly saw that in the paper, but did not delve into it. So it's something I've had my head buried in these other issues.
Well, I'm sure it's I just can't imagine that happening. But talk about a location design that would be great compared to being up on Cathedral Oaks. I mean, there's the area where people could, you know, be close to shopping.
Right, and shopping, transportation.
Sure.
That's a fantastic piece of property and could be done very nicely.
But it's not going to happen unless you want to do a land swap and move the Earl Warren Showgrounds up to the foothills, which might be a nice backdrop for all the horses. Another property they're talking about is San Quentin, and it's an aging facility.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought is, you know, because this mixed use is becoming such that everyone is being a proponent for mixed use. And my thought is, what a perfect way to integrate criminals into society by keeping it as a prison and adding residential. You can call it, you know, like a penal village thing, and you can have your built-in gardeners and everything, workforce housing. It's right there. So I would propose San Quentin to be called, you know, penal village and, you know, sell condos there.
Well, there we go.
Gary, thanks a lot.
I don't know about the crime problem in that neighborhood. But
well, you know, you won't have far to go. You send them right next door.
Yeah.
Coalition for Sensible Planning. Is there a phone number if anyone wants to talk to anybody?
You can call me at 683-6837 or visit our website at sbcsp.org.
SBCSP
for Santa Barbara Coalition for Sensible Planning, sbcsp.org.
It's a lot of SBCSB.
Yeah, no, it doesn't come trippingly off the tongue.
.org, but your phone number is 683-6837. 683-6837. Gary Earl, despite having two first names, he's been a good guest. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank
so
you
much.
So much, Gary.
Bye-bye.
Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. We'll take our final break. We'll come back for the fourth quarter and do our weekly multiple listing analysis. You'll be right back.